Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. I'm so excited to be with you again on wonderful Wednesday. You know, everybody call it hump day, and we come to you every hump day and share some important thoughts about historical black colleges and universities, high school, middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So again, we're just so excited to have this opportunity to talk with you tonight. Now, we're going to take this chance to share our important information, what we call pretty much our house cleaning information. First of all, how you can contact us. One of the key things to being able to contact is you being able to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenzo D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, at Coach underscore L underscore Smith. And those are the ways you can contact us, by Twitter, or you can just go to our email, which is talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Again, we got our standing show for tonight. We got almost a full allotment of individuals joining us tonight. And some people was forced and challenged to call in tonight. And Coach Smith wanted to make sure they call in since they wanted to be on Facebook and go back and forth. We're going to give you a chance and let the world hear what you have to say. So let me take this opportunity now to introduce those people who are so important to me. I could not do this without the team. The team, it is just like, it's no I in team. And you got to know that when you have good people around, you take that great opportunity to talk about them and share some things. I try to give them the greatest introduction I can give them, because I'm so proud to have them a part of this, because this is something that's been going on for a year and a half now. We're so excited about having this chance to be before you. So let me introduce the first individual. This individual hailed from South Alabama. You can go from Dothan over to Op, from Op up to Montgomery, and from Montgomery down to Troy. He's well known as the Don King of Entertainment. None other than Dal E. Train Elliott, our radio personality. How you doing, Dal?
Thank you, Coach, for letting me be a part of the program. Hello, everybody out there. We're ready to get into it. Let's talk sports.
Let's talk some sports. Thank you, Darren. I appreciate you joining us. And this individual, I'm going to make sure I introduce her, because she's with us. She's doing a rehab, and she says she's going to get back at it at full speed. But this is a great opportunity to always have her here. She's the lady of the hour. She's our millennium. So proud of her and what she's doing, all the grinding she's going. None other the hills from Central Alabama, soon to be, hopefully, up there very soon. Our prayers will be up there in Huntsville at Alabama A&M University in grad school. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good. I'm glad to be with you guys tonight. Got one thing to say before we get started. Roll Tide.
All right, then. That girl rolling with the tide. Look at her. Thought she looked like she tried to kick that bus on, ain't it? Let's make it do what it do. Last but not least, now he's not last, but tonight, since he's the last one I'm introducing, because I'm going to share about our other co-host, and he's over there at Auburn University with the High School Athletic Association. But this person hails up in Huntsville, Alabama. Not actually in Huntsville, Meridianville up there, but he's well known in Huntsville. But on this show, we're going to make sure we recognize him. That's the king. He's the king. None other than the king. We call him the man with the saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. None other than Coach Tremaine Evers. Give it to us, Trey.
How y'all doing tonight, man? Glad to be here, man. I don't know what the saying going to be this year. I ain't no rabbit this year. I might be the hunter this year with the gun, but it's Joker shooting at me, Dr. Smith. They shooting at me, baby.
Woo! You got to get it. You got to come back at him, bro. You got to come. You've been talking about the best, so I know ain't nobody else rest. Ain't no good. So do what you do,
yes,
brother. It's going to be all good. It's going to be all good. All right, the last co-host who's not with us tonight, but he's over there in Auburn, at the 7A state championship that's going on. And his name is none other than Touchdown Tony Stalwart. And he's not with it, but he may call in. So, and I'll give him that raving introduction then, but I do it for him all the time. That's Touchdown Tony Stalwart. And he's over there Auburn University. Not give it that university. I'm Auburn University over at the 7A state championship between Thompson High School with Tua, younger brother, and Central Phoenix City, and they kicked off at 7:00 Central Standard Time. All right, guys, let's do exactly what our show title said. Real talk about going to the ship, going to the well, the ship. So everybody say, I'm going to the ship. So we know what you're talking about. And for the ones that are listening to us, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can call in, and you want to be a part of the show, just press 1. I'll identify your last 4 digits of your cell number, and then I'll ask you to come on and identify yourself and your location. All right, guys, before we get into the real talk about going to the ship, we're going to talk about in our Coach's Corner breaking news. As you know, it was breaking news. The breaking news, Urban Myers will retire. Giving your thoughts on that team. We'll share a few minutes on that, and we'll go to our next format topic, and we'll go from there in the Coach's Corner. What do y'all think about Urban Myers?
I dive in first, team. Urban Meyer is known as a guy that runs from competition, man. I think Urban Meyer is fed up with the new playoff system. He feels like they have been stiff the last 2 years, but Ohio State need to be perfect for them to get in the playoff. They had to be perfect. Being that Urban Meyer was suspended for the first 3 games they had, I knew they would have to be perfect because they're looking at all this stuff against them. So, Urban, it's all right, man. If you want to come back down south, that'll be good. But he went up there wishing on a star, man, and that star fell out the sky, man. And he done, Dr. Smith. Urban is a great coach. I would give Urban Meyer one of the top 10 coaches, man. He's went to multiple schools, won national championships, but he don't deal well with adversity, man. I don't think he handles adversity very well, man. He runs from it. So they're having adversity right now at Ohio State, and it looks like he's running again. Same thing he did at Florida. So we gonna see how this works.
Hey, let me say this. When you go out and you read about this quote unquote so called retirement, nobody is sad about it at Ohio State. That should let you know right there, it's time for him to go. It's no different than time for Gus Malzahn to leave. And nobody is sad up there. And if you read about this, you'll find out that what I'm saying has a total weight to it. Nobody's sad. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
That's great. That's great. Coach Smith.
Okay. When this news broke that Urban Meyer was going to retire, I immediately thought, okay, maybe his health is deteriorating. Maybe he is. Maybe the cyst on his brain, maybe it is causing him, you know, to have lack of judgment. And then I had to remember. I had to go back into my long-term memory. And remember, Urban Meyer did this before. When he was down in Florida and all that stuff started to come out, he said, oh, I'm going to retire. A couple months later, oh, I'm going to Ohio State. Now, if his health is deteriorating, okay, that's one thing. But if he's just saying this so the smoke can die down and then in 2 years he'll come back and say, oh, I feel better, I want to coach again, that's why I have a problem. I have a problem if he retired into, like Coach Ellis said, to escape adversity and controversy. I have that's my problem right there. But if he's really sick, then yes, go to the house, because we all know that being a coach at any level takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. If your health is causing you not to dedicate your time and energy to that, yes, it's time for you to go home. But if you're just trying to run away from trouble, then that's another thing.
That's great. That's great, Coach. You know, just to add to that, what would be Urban Meyer's legacy, not just at Ohio State, but if he do retire, formally remove himself from college coaching now, what would be his legacy? And tell me what y'all think about what would be his legacy and what he has accomplished at all the schools he's been at and where he is now, what would be his legacy?
I jump in, Dr. Smith. Well, he's a winner.
Okay.
He's a winner. He's a great coach. Like I said, he just doesn't handle adversity and controversy very well, just like Ms. Smith said. But he's a winner. Urban Meyer's team's always been a threat for Bama, no matter where he's at. They have always been a threat for Bama. I don't like to see Urban Meyer. This year, I didn't want to see Urban Meyer. So preparation is very well. But he does pre-prep. He prepares his team very well for Bama. Bama was one of the top teams in Urban Meyer's stint, and he had an answer for him. So I can't take away his coaching legacy because he has a great legacy. Like I said, when you win multiple championships at different schools, that's big time, Dr. Smith, to me. So that means you can do it. That means you know what you're doing. If you can win it, he won one at Florida, and he won one at Ohio State. He won two at Florida.
Two at Florida, back to back, and then he won.
Yeah.
Right, so he got three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. It's all right. That's great to hear about his legacy. All right. That'll work.
Urban Meyer's legacy is success, failure, and a whole lot of drama. That's it for me. Back to you, Coach.
All right. Awesome. Hey, you can't say it no better. All right, then. All right, Coach Smith, what do you think his legacy going to be?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of foolishness that goes on with his program. Yeah, he's an amazing, you recruit amazing coach, but I'm sorry, when somebody bring up Urban Meyer, I'm not going to remember the wins and the losses. I'm going to remember all the foolishness that occurred under his tenure at these schools. So that's a bad way for some people have to look at you, but, you know, it is what it is.
Awesome. We can move to our next topic because, you know, we have that opportunity to move on. Did the committee get the college football playoff right? Did the committee get it right? And I want y'all to share your thoughts on that. Did the committee get the college football playoff right?
I'll jump in, team. I'm going to lead us right quick. I believe the committee did get it right. I know Kirby did a last push. He tried to push his way in there, but he failed as though that fake punt he did against Bama. I think that's what weeded him out real quick. But the committee did get it right, man. Ohio State lost to an unranked Purdue team by 20 points. And Oklahoma – avenged their loss against Texas. But Texas was a quality opponent, even though they lost three games. They still were a quality opponent. I think Georgia weeded themselves out with the loss to LSU. If Georgia was a one-loss team, yes, sir, they would have been in that spot right there. If there was a one-loss just losing to Bama at the end, they would have made it. But with them falling to LSU, they killed them all. So I think the committee did a great job this year, Dr. Smith.
I just want to know, Daryl E. I want to know one thing. Just tell me somebody, King, I love you, King. But tell me one thing. Tell me why is the Fighting Irish in the top four? Just if somebody can explain to me why Notre Dame is in the top four, I'll be happy. It makes sense of it. That's all I wanted to say.
I got you. I'll dive in on that. Lauren, that's your team too, ain't it? Is that your team, Lauren? Don't you like Notre Dame?
Yeah, that's my team. That's why I'm finna come on here and get her. What you mean? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Team?
Okay. Yeah. Now, Daryl, I'm gonna say this. Notre Dame was in a great position, and they were able to climb up the rankings with wins. Now, Notre Dame played a so-called tough Michigan team in the beginning of the year and won that game. Now, will Notre Dame hold up in the playoff? I don't know, because I really don't think Clemson has been tested there. So they might surprise us. Now, will they beat Oklahoma or Bama? I don't think they have enough offense. But Clemson ain't clicking like that there. So it might look good this round right here, man. And I've been telling people, you know, I ain't counting Notre Dame out. They are old school, and both teams are old school teams. Clemson play kind of old school this year. They not, you know, the typical Clemson we used to see with Kelly Bryant and Watson back there. So they playing kind of traditional set. So they might surprise us. Lauren, I'm not surprised if Notre Dame comes out with a win right there in the first round. It won't be an upset in my book. But they deserve to be there. I'm going to get to them. They deserve to be there.
Please, Jesus, you did not explain to me why they deserve to be there. You gave me your opinion. Come on, Lauren, help me.
Lauren, say it again. What they
Lauren,
what they
help me.
They undefeated.
Undefeated? What do you mean?
Yeah, but so was Carroll High School. Who did you play? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Oh, okay. It's gonna be quick. So Clemson. If we're talking about somebody who do not deserve to be there, in my opinion, it is Clemson. Now, they haven't shown me that they're a top four team. Maybe because they haven't played anybody for real. But they haven't shown me a top four team. But that's neither here or there. Notre Dame probably. But Notre Dame and Bama probably really, really deserve to be in the top four. Like Trey said, Notre Dame is a kind of an old school team. They're a little boring to watch, which you kind of got to know Brian Kelly to know why they're so boring. So top four is correct. Everybody complaining about Ohio State. Unless they have a terrible loss to Purdue. There's no way you get blown out by Purdue. And Purdue really don't beat another soul for the rest of the year, but they beat two, then you think you're going to get in top four. It's not going to happen. Oklahoma lost to Texas, came back and played an amazing game against Texas on Saturday. That's why Oklahoma got their number one spot. All the people arguing with me on Twitter and do not know anything about football, please let me tell you this. I would take a one-loss team who lost to a better team at the time than the team who lost to, let's just say, they lost to Jeff Davis, okay? So I'm not trying to be funny, but the top four is correct, and we will see later in the month what's going to happen with this top four.
And just kind of adding, we're going to move to our next one, is one of the biggest things about it is because Notre Dame can set their schedule up to play all of the teams that may be ranked in the top 25, and eight of the teams they did play is ranked in the top 25. So that goes, that's more than any other team that's in the top four. So that's the good thing about it. But they always said by they playing their schedule, they play and they go undefeated, whether they have a championship game or not. The strength of their schedule put them in a position where they'll be able to get it if they go undefeated. It would have been the biggest, discussion whether they play, because you can play Alabama, the Clemson schedule, because of the team week in their conference, and they are not playing teams. They playing five from the ACC, and the rest of them they pick throughout the country. So that's one of the biggest things. Even though Stanford didn't win that conference, but Stanford was a pretty good team over there. And you got several other teams that put some in based on the talking heads and pundits. They had 18 that was ranking the top 25 right now. So that's why they are in there. Now, how long they last, they ain't going to last very long, but that's why you play the game. The topic says what? The title of the show? Yes, real talk about going to the ship. All you want to do is get that. Go ahead on there.
I just wanted to say thank you because I needed for someone listening to understand the dynamics of this. It wasn't me, but I wanted them to understand how it works, because they are talking about this school, this Irish school, Fighting Irish, has no business, but they do have business to be there. And that's why I wanted you to explain that very clearly to them. Thank you so much. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
All right, awesome. Okay, let's take our next step over here now. And I want to talk about these championship games. We're going to just pick out one or two in the championship weekend. We're going to start with the game that was over at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta between the University of Alabama and Georgia. Y'all tell me what y'all think about that, because for three quarters, like everybody said, three quarters or two and a half quarter, Georgia looked like they was handing it to Alabama. But Alabama and all that so-called talent started stepping up, and they just kind of ran by them because they was down by, two touchdowns? And they ran by them and went up one touchdown to win the ball game. Tell me what you think, group.
I think it was an absolute setup. For that game to do like it did, and for Jalen Hurts to come in and take it over the top, it was like an absolute setup to me. I can't honestly see how Alabama could never get their offense clicking in three quarters. I just couldn't see that. I was like, it doesn't make sense. You tell me that they keyed so hard on the quarterback for Alabama. They keyed so hard on him, and they were able to stop all of the offense, stop him from, I think at halftime he had 35 yards. I'm like, how does that even happen? How does that even happen? Yeah. And then for it to, I think it was an absolute setup. I just think it was a setup. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Okay. All right. Trey, before y'all jump in, let me kind of say this. You know, we just don't realize what kind of defensive coordinator and head coach is over at Georgia. Yeah, he made a mistake in the call. But just think about that. I want y'all to think back in January. He had Jalen doing the same foolishness, couldn't do nothing. Just remember that. It takes an outstanding defensive coordinator to keep you off balance. And he take a little bit he get, and he created. He if anybody like Nick Saban, is Kirby Smart. So the point is, he made two quarterbacks look like they wasn't worth a quarter. They had to bring another quarterback in less than a year. So we're going to have to give him credit for being an outstanding. So he's the one created the problem. Tua looked good on everybody else, but he couldn't look good on Kirby Smart because he has one of the greatest minds because he was taught by the greatest mind. So he can put defense together to confuse people, and he can get his players to play at a level. But you can join in there, guy. Join in there, Trey, you and Coach Smith. Y'all join in there and see what y'all think about that.
I'm going to jump in, Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
this is what I saw. I feel like if Tua would have used his legs a little more, it would have opened some stuff up, but he didn't. It was like he was trying to overthrow the ball, Dr. Smith. When we ran down and got to like the 6-yard line and we threw the ball three straight times, that didn't make sense to me. I don't know if those were RPOs or those were design call plays. But, Dr. Smith, I thought we were shaving points. We get down to the 6-yard line, and we throw the ball three straight times. And another thing I saw, Dr. Smith, and this don't make sense. Now I done had the worst of the worst injuries to my leg area. Now, if I roll my ankle, Dr. Smith, my ankle is going to be hurting when I'm on the ground, Dr. Smith. When Tua hurt his ankle that first initial time, now the video showed that he rolled his ankle. It showed that. He got up, then started limping. He wasn't grabbing his ankle on the ground then. This is the first time he got hurt, Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it, and I didn't understand it. Like, when I roll my ankle is going to be hurting when I roll it. It's not going to be hurting when I get up and try to walk on it. That's one thing that didn't make sense to me. So, like you said, I don't think it was so far as the defensive calls. Like last year, it was giving yourself a chance. You seen the growth and development with Jalen Hurts this year, because that pass he threw to Jalen Waddle on the sideline last year, he would have ran out of bounds with it. This year he's throwing it, so we see the growth and development. Number two, Tua was over. Throwing every pass. He was trying to go to home run play every time. Just hit your dump down or use your feet. That's what Jalen Hurts did. And that's why he was successful in that game, Dr. Smith. So I don't think it's so far as. Now, my answer was the defense. We didn't have an answer for their offense, Dr. Smith. I have never seen us get shredded up like that. Like, we were never in the right spot. I don't know if it was personnel or whatnot, but they made Jake Fromm look like the best quarterback ever to me. He looked like the best quarterback I ever seen, and I have never seen Alabama get beat by a statue. And statue means pocket passers. I have never seen Alabama lose to a pocket passer. Never. Well, in Nick Saban's tenure, we have never lost to a pocket passer. We are, our kryptonite is a running quarterback. So for this guy not to be able to use his feet and have all day to throw the ball, one. And number two, he throwing strikes. Like, they killing IDBs, like regular routes. So I went so far as, you know, I'm a firm believer in my defense. If my defense stops you, my offense can get going. But when our defense couldn't stop them, they hitting the tight end across the middle. They hitting Riley Ridley on the sideline. From throw the ball in a window that NFL quarterbacks can't throw. I'm talking about, I'm looking at all that stuff. So I went so far as, you know, looking at our quarterback because I felt like we could have ran the ball. Now, if you notice, this too, Dr. Smith, I don't mean to take all the time, but we run the same three running plays, Dr. Smith, if you don't notice that. We run a little counter play where he go left and come back right, and that's the only play we ran, and a read. And I couldn't understand that. Like, what are we doing? What running plays do we have? Because those plays, we run the same plays. I want y'all to pay attention to that, though. We run the same three plays. And one play is designed for Najee to the T. And he runs it every time. But I've never seen that like that. We run the same three running plays. But that's all I got. Mm-hmm. Y'all go ahead.
Okay. And hold on a second, Lord. Just to kind of, that's why I got to give the defense credit and who's over there mastering his defense. And I just use those two games. Just think, you got two different quarterbacks, and both quarterbacks had fits. Jalen had fits last year. They took his strength away from him, and he took his man's strength away from him. So I got to give him the defensive coach that preparation. And yes, Fromm was throwing him in there. Yeah, he was throwing them in there. But that defense ain't been that great anyway. You got to realize, them defensive back ain't they immature. It had to show up somewhere down the line. Think about it now. Smith is a first-year player. The other boy is a first-year player. And Thompson's the only one that's a senior. So that's what Kirby took advantage of. So I'm going to give him all the credit for doing that, because a defensive coordinator that know the game and know the team on the other side of that, like he knows Alabama. You got, and like you said, three plays. What three plays? Them three plays they was running, is they've been running having success all year. They've been having success. But against a good coach and a guy that knows that man on the other side, knows everything, with coach like he called, it's hard. It's just hard. We got to give him credit for being the outstanding defensive coordinator, because he knows he was. So we got to give him credit now, because we can say we want to. He had two quarterbacks confused, got two different makeup, skill set. Jalen had problems last year.
What do you think about the D-line, Dr. Smith? Give me your thoughts on the D-line.
I thought the only player who was creating problems, been creating all problems all year, is Williams. You take Williams away, ain't nobody else putting a whole lot of pressure on him. So this is
Another thing. What happened to Raekwon this year, Dr. Smith? I mean, I'm trying to see. He went from a high on the draft board to just non-existent. Like, he need to come back another year, Dr. Smith. I need your thoughts on him.
He probably need to come on back. You know, Williams look like he the only one can leave out unless somebody's a senior. They have to leave. But Williams looked like, because he's dominating. And he was dominating until they started double team, triple team, but nobody else had another answer. Your linebackers put him in bad position. Okay, nobody said that. Mack Wilson, he puts them guys in bad situation, making them call. You ain't never had to be. Them guys were so out of place, it was ridiculous. So a lot is going on with that defense that they have to fix, and I think it'll be fixed. So it's not saying they don't have the talent, but if you're out of position, it don't make no difference. It don't make no difference how good you are. You can run plays down. But Coach Smith, I know she probably got something, but we're going to kind of pick the show up a little bit. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can join us. Just press 1. And you can share your thoughts. Like Lauren said, all of them want to go on Facebook back and forth. You can do it right now. Just call in and share your thoughts. Like the board up, and I'll recognize you, the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to introduce yourself and just tell us exactly what you feel about all of these topics we already discussed. All right, let's look at the Heisman. Y'all tell me a little bit. And I know there's some other teams we can talk about in the playoff, but we're going to look at the Heisman. Kyler Murray's performance on championship weekend win him the Heisman for 2018, because the pundits and the talking heads saying he has won it. They believe he had won. The vote went in at 5 o'clock. And we have to look at his performance and compare it to it. If they was even, that was the thing. And everybody remember what happened lately, not what happened all season. Well, he played all game, but, you know, he played half of the game. Ain't Murray's fault because he had to play the whole game. Sometimes having the best talent hurts you to a sense when you're competitive, even because some people have sympathy. Tell me your thoughts on that, and we'll kind of expedite things in a minute. All right, are we there?
I was trying to give Lauren a chance to speak.
Oh, I'll go
Lauren.
Ahead. Yeah, Kyler Murray won. He won the Heisman, and I'm going to tell you why. Tua is hurt, and one thing we know about, well, what I'm learning about, if you hurt one thing on your leg, 9 times 10, your whole leg can start breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
So Tua has a torn meniscus. Every time he falls to the ground, what does he grab? The back of his leg, that's a torn meniscus. We all know that once your meniscus goes, so does the rest of your knee, and as well as your ankles, it starts to become weak. So I think the injury bug is going to hurt Tua more than him not playing in the fourth quarter. Because you have to think about it, if he wasn't hurt, maybe he could have put up more numbers. Maybe he would look, you know, impressive, better than he looked. But Kyler Murray has won. No possible way a guy scores 60-some points and stays in all four quarters and don't win the Heisman. And also, I don't think they want to give Tua the Heisman because that means Tua will probably win it two more years after this. So that's 3 years in a row you'll have a Heisman winner from the same school. And I don't think anybody want to do that. So Kyler Murray, the trophy's all yours.
All right, Coach.
It has to be Kyler Murray. Lauren's spot on with that, as she always is. I mean, the numbers are there for him, and Tua, it was going to be Tua in my mind, and then things mm-hmm. just fell off for him in terms of the numbers because of the injuries, like Lauren said. So, I mean, who else? It's Kyler Murray. Back to you, Doctor. Mm-hmm. It's Kyler Murray.
Okay. All right, Trey.
Man, y'all know I ain't finna go with no Tyler, whatever his name, Murray. I'm
Kyler Murray.
Tua.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Murray.
Kyler. Yeah.
Kyler Murray. Tyler. You know what I'm saying? With uh-huh. Tua, even though the last game was kind of drastic and it looked ugly, he still finished with 164 pass yards. Now, he threw two picks. You know, that I think, but he also had a couple drops in there. They could have been that 164 could have been 250. If you get a couple, you know, if you have a couple of them drops, man. I think that the pass to the tight end was 40 yards itself, so that would have put him at 200 at least. So I still think he had a good enough performance to show that. They will be looking at the amount of time these guys been on the field. They are looking at that. They are looking at consistency. And another thing that Tua didn't do, that Kyler Murray did, he hasn't lost. So I'm still getting the Tua. I still like Tua's chance in that. The last race where I was looking at this crazy. And I know it sounds crazy, but it was Mark Ingram. When Mark Ingram won the Heisman, we looked at it like, how he get that? You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that same effect is going to happen right now with Tua.
And just to add to that, since the question was asked, they got it because they had great performance in those games, those last games that people remember. That's the very key to it right there. You can remember Henry. Remember Henry had 200, 300, almost 300-something yards. And he came out of the background. He wasn't up in the front at the time. So I really think that's important. That's all people going to remember what happened this weekend. 379-yard passing and 67-yard. And that's all. They don't care about the rest of the part. Yes. Everybody wants to say a body of work, put body of work. They pretty much even with the body of work. Regardless of whether he played a half a game, it's not. You can't punish him, Murray, because Murray or either Haskins had to play the whole game. Then a lot of people, you got to remember, they got this fatigue with Alabama. And that's one reason. Another reason why they don't feel like they got need to vote for that person. So that game was important. He had to perform to the highest level, and he didn't. Regardless how it was, being hurt or not. So Murray going to be up there. And I'm just going to say, don't be shocked if he be third. because Haskins had almost 500-yard passing, and he's been like that all season. And it don't matter what you lost. Even if he lost to what, anybody, 29, still had 400-some yards. So you guys see, that's what you're looking at, the performance, not so much as the team. That's what we got to remember. When the team pretty equal, when they pretty equal, I'm going to let you come in, Trey. When they pretty equal, you have to look at the performance of the individual. You can't look at the other thing, and it's just not competitive in that. I'm just saying that I see it being Murray, Haskins, and Tua. Tua fell down to third because it was really close. But with that 500-yard, 499, people are going to remember that 499 yard. I don't care who was against, but they still going to remember it. So that's my point in regard to that.
Dr. Smith.
All right, Trey.
Go ahead. We talking about people playing teams that is non-existent, Dr. Smith. The other side of the Big Ten is the worst I've ever seen. Like, I believe Kentucky can go on the other side of that Big Ten and won't lose a game. So for him to have 500 yards against Northwestern, Dr. Smith, I mean,
that's non-existent. But it's a championship game, Trey. It's a championship game. It don't matter. You can't always put the best team. They the best team that was 7-1, and they beat somebody in the East too as well. So the bottom line is whether they was great or not, he still had to throw it. You got to consider that. That's all I'm saying. We got to consider. It can't be all. But you know, with Alabama, you don't play all the greatest team. Alabama don't play all the greatest team neither in the SEC.
They got a few teams they play.
No, I'm just saying. I'm using that for example.
But what I'm saying is, Dr. Smith, I'm looking at your work of art against teams that you're struggling against. You lost a game. You had the worst game of your life and lost.
Who?
Against Purdue.
Who? No, he didn't. He had almost 500 yards against Purdue. He was the only one. Yes, he was.
Now he threw for 500, Dr. Smith, but it wasn't it wasn't a game like that. I mean, he's dicking and dying. I mean, he's throwing 5-yard passes, Dr. Smith. I'm with you totally, Dr. Smith. But if I'm looking as a Heisman voter, I'm looking at him throwing the ball in windows.
Nope.
I see exactly. I'm looking at yards and carrying on. But I'm saying I'm looking at how you're getting, like you said, a work of art. Now, if I'm throwing I'm going to give you this because Ohio State do this a whole lot. That little front pass stuff where they just throw the ball to number two and he runs for 80 yards, that's how Hackens get a lot of his yards, Dr. Smith. A lot of them.
Yeah.
And against teams like Northwestern, this guy is catching a regular 5-yard pass. Against Purdue, he's catching a 5-yard pass and turning it to 80. So that's the reason why I think they ruled him out of that game. Now he could have threw for 800, and I still think that people, the voting would still look at him differently. He was the third.
Think we may have lost Trey right there. Let's keep in. I don't know what happened there, but just keep in mind, and we're gonna move to the next topic. Is that just like we say? Jerry Jeudy done a 5-7-8-yard pass, go 80 yards. So it works both ways, a flip go that. So we just – but I'm just looking at the performance. I'm just giving prediction here. The prediction would be it would be Murray Haskins going to be last. Unfortunately, he went from first to last in regards to this voting. So let's kind of move on to looking at we're going to look at Jalen Hurts' performance before we go back to Central Florida. And we got to get to some other things before our time run out. But Jalen Hurts performing against Georgia cemented his place in the Alabama football history. What y'all think about that? Did it cement his place in history, Alabama history, football history?
I'll go ahead and go.
Jalen Hurts, Laura.
Jalen Hurts shows exactly what you teach kids when you're a coach. You teach kids, you know, not to get down on yourself if you don't become a starter, continue to work, continue to learn, continue to want to get better, because you never know when your time is coming. So for him to do what he did Saturday, I'm proud that he did that he made history in that, because for a guy to come back from everything that he came back from the media trying to turn him against his teammates, from his coach saying, you know, I haven't talked to him and kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit, that for him to come back and basically save them, that you love stories like that. So I'm proud of Jalen Hurts, not only as an athlete, but just as a human being. You know, you have to also remember these kids are human beings. So when he got benched and he still was learning, he still was with the quarterback coach, him and Tua still out there practicing, he was still trying to learn from Tua, and Tua trying to learn from him, that's what you want. You pre-step your kids. So I'm glad he made history in that, and if anybody was deserving of that, it was Jalen Hurts.
You know, I would say this, that character is everything. And he demonstrates the character that you want from a ball player and a quarterback. And I think Jalen Hurts has been raised right. I think that he has the stamina, character, and he has the characteristics of a great football quarterback. And he has cemented his place in football history. And I think we will see more from Jalen Hurts. I think he'll make NFL. He may not be the greatest quarterback in the world, but I think he's going to be on the level of the same brother that's playing for Carolina Panthers right now.
Yeah,
I don't want to say his name because he went to Auburn.
Talking about the Cam. All right.
But I think he'll be on that level. He won't be as flamboyant as Cam. I don't see that him developing that person, but he will be an important player on some National Football League team. So he has cemented his stuff in history. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. You know, when you look at the thing like the Washington Redskins winning, found somebody, Sanchez, just so they could have a quarterback. You know, what if you got a young man, got good character, improve on the game, slowly get better and better, to be on your bench that can come in and just bail you out situations from time to time. And I think that's what the NFL looks like. That's why the backup quarterback, everybody always be worried about who the franchise quarterback, but the key, as you're finding out with the Redskins, with several other teams, the backup quarterback is really important. And third-string backup is really important. If not, you have to go get somebody that's working at the supermarket and let them quarterback. So that's how important it is in a player like that. And everybody's talking about he's going to go to another team. In my mind, and as I said on a previous show earlier, in my mind, why do you go to another team? What can another team do but get you in a position where you can get hurt? Because all I can see now is take your chances at the next level. If you don't win, you got possibly two national championships and a runner-up. How many players you know have that great opportunity? Where else is he going to go and get that same opportunity in his last year? So I don't even think that's thought in his mind. I think his parents figured out, we're going to go do this thing now. We're going to try to be the best we can be, spend enough money because he graduated on next Saturday, which is the 15th. He's going to be ready to go. Go up there, give his best shot. Give his best shot at the NFL, and he could be somebody back up, you know, just like the rest of them, there's somebody back up at this point. So we'll look and keep an eye on that. Any other thoughts on that?
No.
All right, let's kind of move. Let's move on. All right, let's look at Central Florida. What do Central Florida need to do in the future to get into the college football playoff? Because they won 24 or 25 games in a row. And it still is not considered. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I'd like for somebody to tell me why they didn't have a decent shot. But then, wait a minute, there are several teams that I've heard about. But UCF doesn't seem to be able to get a break at all. And I don't know. There we go. Why is the Fighting Irish there and UCF is not? What is the problem? Maybe Lauren can speak on this. She knows all. Tell me, Lauren, why ain't they there?
Okay, so I want UCF to be in the top four, and I did before their quarterback went there. I wanted them to be in the top four, but this is why they're not there. Nobody takes them serious because they don't play anybody. I can see if they're scheduled at LSU or Florida or a Texas A&M or an SEC school. They can put Missouri on the schedule now next year. So they don't play anybody. If you want people to take you serious, you gotta want to be taken serious. Well, I tell my guys all the time, if you want to be a dog, you need to come out the doghouse and try to go up against some dogs. You can't stay in the doghouse and holler, I'm a dog. You know what I'm saying? They don't play anybody. So that don't make no sense.
So what you're saying is UCF is no more than some of these fighting pimps I see on Facebook. They so bad on Facebook when you see them out in public. They ain't hear no nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe UCF need to play Auburn. That makes us feel better. Okay, I got you, love.
They did.
They did. And send them all back to the plane.
And beat them.
Woo. Yeah, beat them. Yeah, exactly. Because you're talking about the schedule. You got at least five Power Five teams on your schedule out of your group of five. Your conference don't really stretch out. May play one or two every now and then, but you got to increase that to be up there and be the point to be recognized. And you 24 and 26 and 25 and 0 because you don't play those Power Five teams from week to week. So that creates such a major problem with them. And as long as they continue to play like that schedule they're playing, they won't get into that playoff. I believe even if they increase it to 6 to 8. The only way they can get in there is try to guarantee one of those group of five teams to be there, which I don't think it should guarantee. I think they still had to earn their way in there. And I just think that, you know, if you can't play with the big boys, don't be jumping off that porch and get down there and play in the dirt. Think you can. So the thing about at this point, they couldn't play with them on a regular basis. Every week they could not. One game ain't it. You can't get in this playoff and win one game or hope you can win one game. Then now you say you're ready to play. We can't let you benefit that way. You got to earn it by playing 6 or 7 of those teams that's in the Power Five so you can see how you really stand. So that's the situation with UCF. Auburn University fired their third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Was this a good move or should the bus keep on rolling? Just like it is. Lop it down the road.
Okay, before Lauren get in there and attack Auburn with her teeth, because I know she's going to eat Auburn alive, they keep firing the wrong damn people. That's what the problem is. They keep firing the wrong people. Everybody that's an Auburn fan that knows football will tell you after every game, they need to get rid of Gus. Oh my God! Why would he go down? Why does Gus kick field goals and not go for? Why does he always kick field goals? Well, is it he? All I can tell you is this: Lauren, have your way. The floor is yours.
All right, Lauren.
Okay, so Rick Lassie, yeah, he gone.
Yeah, that one.
So
yeah,
why they keep firing? It's like Larry just said, they found the wrong person. And I told y'all this 6 weeks ago. Get rid of Gus Malzahn. And I could kill this about the winning part. It's how he ran his team. There's no way somebody that done started for you or played for you for 4 years up and leave your program. They play for you on Saturday and leave your program on Monday? Come on now. They find the wrong person.
Okay.
Now, I'm also tell you this. Them firing Rick Lassie the other day, it hurt them in the Kelly Bryant race. Kelly Bryant was going to pick Auburn. Then they fired Rick Lassie, and he's like, oh, no. He really don't want to play for good. He really want to play for Rick Lassie. That's who he really want to play for. So, that hurt them. They probably should have waited until they got Kelly Bryant to fire Rick Lassie. But, unfortunately, they fired the wrong person, and I think people are starting to see that in the bowl game that this team is not going to be very good. And then you get Joey Gatewood next year. I don't know. I really think that the bus is broke down and can't nobody fix it. Nobody own the part to the bus to get it back crunked. So that's probably over with. They fired the wrong person. I'm with Darryl. They fired the wrong person.
And let me add this too. Let me add this to this addendum to this. Auburn lacks the discipline it takes to win. The coaches don't have, in my mind, a disciplined team across the board. They don't have a disciplined team. just like Lauren said, how do you have a guy playing for 4 years and on Monday he walked away from your team?
Exactly.
Something is broken. Something is definitely broken there, and it starts with the head of the snake. And so back to you, Coach, on that.
All right. Trey, I think we got you back now. I thought we lost.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. We got you now. We couldn't hear you. We got you now.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to disagree with you right here, Lauren. I believe Kelly Bryant going to Auburn would have rejuvenated his career. Gus Malzahn is a particular type player, systematic player person. Kelly Bryant fixed his bill. If Kelly Bryant comes to Auburn, that's Gus. I mean, I don't know what – I mean, the only teams Kelly – I mean, that Gus won with was Cam Newton. And what's your other boy name that played quarterback?
Nick Marshall.
That Nick Marshall. And Kelly Bryant fits that athletic bill. So it wouldn't so matter for a offensive coordinator being in there, you know, because Gus will run them plays. Gus needs an active quarterback. He needs an athletic quarterback. So when Kelly Bryant went to Missouri, which I don't understand that one, but him going to Missouri, that hurt him. I probably would have stayed where I was and rode that train out. Or like Kelly Bryant said, he wanted to get – Kelly Bryant still won't get a shot for the NFL. He could have just went to the combine this year and did what he finna do at Missouri, because he finna get beat up over there. That's all I got, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right.
Can,
that'll work.
Can I step in real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Lauren, go ahead on.
Okay. So I had this argument earlier. Let's think about this. Kelly Bryant left Clemson. Why? Because he didn't want to compete with somebody else for a starting job. He started the job with his. Going to Auburn, he would have had to compete. Or not compete, they would have made a story out of him and Joy Gatewood. We have to think about that, too. It's also a fresh, young quarterback who has a higher cylinder than Kelly Bryant coming in. Kelly Bryant go to Missouri, he ain't got to fight for no job. His job's his. Competition ain't there. He can go out and do whatever he want. No, he ain't going to lose his job. We also got to think about that part, too.
Right. And look at the best opportunity he had to look at that's going to help him, and however he believes he can get an opportunity to play at the next level. So we'll look at it that way. All right, let's kind of move over to the SWAC championship. Well, I'm sorry, not the SWAC championship, because we know we'll say Alcorn won the SWAC championship for 2018. They beat Southern, and it was on television. But let's talk about this Air Force Celebration Bowl between Alcorn State and North Carolina A&T. Just get your thoughts on it right quick, and then we'll expedite it a little bit, and we'll kind of move forth, get ready to close the show out in a minute or two. Okay?
I'll dive in, guys. Okay. Be quick. I'm going to stay SWAC, man. I'm born SWAC, raised SWAC. I'm going to stay SWAC. But it's going to be a test, Dr. Smith. It will be a test.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I would like to say this. Tua brother is getting beat to sleep on the TV right now. The score is 37-0 right now in the third quarter with 7 minutes left. He is getting beat to sleep, so they might need to make a change themselves if they trying to get something going. Thompson Ward might need to make a change. Y'all go ahead.
Sadly, it's going to be North Carolina winning that game by at least 3 to 6 points, guys. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Okay. All right. And I kind of agree, because I saw them the first of the season at Crimson Bowl, North Carolina A&T, who beat Jacksonville State. And they have they had a spell. They dropped by one or two games, but since then they still playing at a high level. So I go along with that. And one of the other things, a spinoff from that, and we'll say this before we close it out. Why don't more historical black college teams get a chance to go to a bowl? The only bowl they go to is the Celebrity Celebration Bowl. Tell me what y'all think about this. Just give me a minute of thought on whatever y'all think. Just first thing come about your mind. Talk about that. Well or not. Why the historical black colleges don't get a chance to go to no bowls.
Daryl E., real quick, it's one word, money. That's it.
Money. All right. That's good. right.
I agree with Daryl. Money.
Okay. Straight money. Money. It's all about money, huh? Okay. All right. Well, we had in our show tonight, and Trey gave us a report pretty much on the high school, Alabama High School Athletic Association game of tonight, which is between Thompson and Central Phoenix City, and the score is 37-0 in the third quarter. So it looked like that's going to be a wrap on that end. There are several other championships that are going on, but you can go and support your team tomorrow. And the call-in number here for us tonight was 347-857-4192. You could have called in. Still can before we close out the last 2 or 3 minutes. If you need to go a little long, we always set time aside if you got something to say. If not, we're going to get ready to close the show out. Each one of your co-hosts, y'all can say what you feel to kind of wrap it up. And I want to make sure, Trey, before you wrap it up, you talk a little bit about that tournament this weekend between Alabama and Georgia up there at Columbia High School. Go ahead on.
I jump in quick then. I tell y'all about that. We got a border wars going on up here this Saturday between, like Dr. Smith just said, Alabama and Georgia. Top teams coming out of Georgia and top teams coming out of Alabama. Sidney Lanier is supposed to be up here playing. Sidney Lanier is number one, 6A, number 22 in the nation. 22 in the nation. So we get to see what they do against some of the top-tier talents at of Georgia. Got a pretty stacked schedule. We got Mount Brook coming down to play, Lanier coming. Lee Huntsville will be playing. No, I think we're not playing. Lee Huntsville is not in. Jemison will be in it.
Yeah.
Jemison will be playing Pebblebrook. Pebblebrook is the school that Colin Sexton came from. Southwest, the Cab will be playing Holy Innocence from Georgia. Going to be pretty good. Mount Brook, as we know, Mount Brook took a L last week to Winona, man. Lost the big time game.
Yep.
So it's getting big. As you see, what else? Mount Brook is number one in the overall state bracket. State.
Okay. Wow.
State rankings. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I got for you, Dr. Smith.
Well, appreciate it, Trey. Appreciate it. Coach Smith, you got something you want to add before we get ready to close it out?
Yeah, great show tonight. Make sure this weekend, Army versus Navy, come on, correct?
Correct.
Make sure you kind of tune in to NBC and kind of watch that. That should be a pretty good game, just tradition-wise. I'm pretty interested to see what Sidney Lanier does this weekend. They tend to be the best team in the city. No discount to Carver, but I haven't seen anybody as big as him. Great show tonight. Have a blessed weekend. Safe, sane, and sober weekend. And that's all I got.
Awesome, awesome. I tell you this. Yes, go ahead, Dara. Go ahead on, Dara.
I apologize. I was going to clock out myself, but I'm sorry I cut you off, but I want to tell the king this and Lauren this. King, you still the king. You my king forever. Just want you to know that. And Lauren, this show has been missing something, and that flavor that you bring to this show is tremendous. I hope everybody has a good night, and we'll see you guys back next Wednesday.
Awesome, awesome. And the same thing you there, you bring that Don King of Entertainment, and we appreciate you. And that touchdown, Tony, he's not here, but he has that touchdown flavor to it. So we're having an awesome time here, and it's about to close this out. Now, just to add one other thing in regards to the tournament up in Huntsville at Columbia High School, Coach Blandon, Christopher Blandon, is the head coach and athletic director up there. I want to make sure I mention his name because he'll be tagging in sometime and want to share. He's inviting everybody to come out and put the meat in the seat up in the Huntsville area. And so wherever you're coming from, following your team from Montgomery, following your team from Birmingham, check it out because it's going to be an awesome Saturday up there with the Borders War. No, we had a great show tonight, but you can check us out on Friday. We have Balling with the Doc. If we don't have it, we'll rotate it the next Friday because it's supposed to be traveling up to Huntsville and checking that out. But, you know, like I always say, we always have a good time here. Then on Monday, we have our Talking Real to You Myself as a host, Coach Smith as a co-host, and our expert is Dr. Olivia E. Smith and Scarlett H. Black. Those individuals, Joy, we talk about just plain old life issues, 8 o'clock on Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 4 o'clock for our Balling with the Doc. So we have a great night. You know, keep on grinding. And on top of that, make sure you understand. You must be able to communicate for understanding. And last but not least, and I like to do this before I put my music on, is that, you know, I just simply just love you and just love you. Just love you, love you, love you. And like I said, I love you. And ain't a thing that you can do about it. So have an awesome night. And this music, we do not have the rights to it, but we want to play it and let you get a feel of what we feel. And this is going to be a little serious here, so check it out.
We're going to start this thing over.
Have a great weekend. Coming up. Let me say it. I love you.
Card. You made a killing last year off fraud.